This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Brexit is having problems at the Irish border. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Before we go to Ireland, let's talk about markets here at home. Tech stocks not doing so great. Everything kind of tepid this week. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Markets are kind of tepid this week, it looks like, even after some progress on taxes. What is your take?
Well, I think this is actually a very typical phenomenon in the market, and we see this often. So we've gotten very excited, and there was a lot of optimism. If we go back 2 weeks and think about how much enthusiasm there was generally that we were going to get tax reform. And so I think the market's just backing that off now, saying, well, we expect something to happen. It's priced in. We're in a sell the news state where we're going to just be a little bit calmer about it and perhaps start backing. Remember that the market's always forward looking. Now it's adjustment time.
Mm. You have pointed out that it's been a really long time since markets have seen any serious downward jump. Does that not make people a little nervous?
I think it does. And as we go into year end, everyone is starting to think about what their outlook is for 2018, 2019. People start to then look at what's the cycle? How does this compare to previous cycles? It's been 2,000 days since the market has seen a 5% one-day drop. That is a really long time. And that's where a lot of people have scratched their heads, because this cycle and this recovery just seems to have extended long beyond what is typical.
Well, as you mentioned, we are heading to the holidays, and funny things happen to stocks during the holidays, some sort of seasonal sell-offs, you could say. What is behind that?
That is very true. As we go into year end, there is tax planning that starts to take place. So people who are forward thinking about their taxes and want to reduce the amount of cash that they have to pay on their gains in the market oftentimes will harvest losses out of their accounts. So stocks that have done poorly during the year, where investors might be looking at a capital loss, are being sold so that they can recognize that loss and offset it against their gains, so that in the end, when it comes to April and tax time, they have less cash taxes to pay. So that puts a little undue pressure on stocks, especially those that have gone down as we move into year end, as people try to position themselves appropriately for their accountant's advice.
All right. Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
As a nonprofit organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day: to increase economic intelligence across the country. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and right now would be a great time for you to help. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
Britain's Brexit plans have hit a major roadblock. Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May hoped she'd be able to progress to round two, namely figuring out a future trade relationship with the EU. But she stalled over the issue of what happens to the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. My BBC colleague Anu Annan joins me now. Anu, why is the Irish border so contentious?
Well, Sabri, after Brexit, it's going to be the only land border between an EU and a non-EU country. So the Republic of Ireland stays in the European Union, but Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, leaves. So you've got to regulate the movement of goods. How do you do that? Usually, you've got to have checkpoints or border checks, but you've got to remember, too, that for three decades, the Irish were embroiled in a violent conflict. So emotionally, the idea of borders or checkpoints feels like a pretty giant step backwards to the Irish. Here's just one example of what a new border would do. Guinness. It's brewed in Dublin in the south, bottled in Belfast in the north. If you have a new border, you would add to the cost of things like Guinness, but borders would also affect general trade in the Irish island, and it's worth currently at about $3.2 billion a year.
Wow, talk about opening up an old wound and then throw an economic dimension on top of it. I guess it's maybe not shocking that Theresa May wasn't able to find a solution.
Well, Brexit is really contentious, and this Irish border issue highlights all of the existing divisions. Dublin wants to stick to EU rules. Her own cabinet wants nothing to do with the EU. She's got to please those two sides. If she makes any exceptions for Northern Ireland, then other bits of the UK, Scotland and London, say, hey, hang on a second, we voted Remain and we want the same deal. And you can add another handicap to the picture. Theresa May is only in power thanks to the support of a small political party based in Northern Ireland. And in the end, they vetoed the deal because they, for reasons of their own, want to be totally in step with the rest of the UK. So you can see just how tricky a balancing act it is.
Indeed. What happens now?
Well, Theresa May tries again. The crucial deadline is December 14th. The European Union summit brings its members together then to decide if Britain can progress to trade talks. And remember that businesses here are really waiting to see how the trade rules are going to change, when they're going to change, so they can plan their operations. They've been warning the government about loss of jobs, loss of investment because of all this uncertainty. And given the complexity of all this and the failures this week, it will be very interesting to see if she can actually find a compromise that works.
BBC's Anu Anand in London, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Apple CEO Tim Cook says he's confident that some of its apps will be reinstated on the App Store in China. At the Chinese government's request, Apple had removed from its Chinese app store several messaging apps and apps used to avoid censorship. Cook said he had great hope those apps would be restored, but did not give a timeline. Apple stock is down 0.6%. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.